And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's FYZICAL Athletic. And you can also find them on all social media platforms at physical. You can also find them on their website, at physicalathletics.com. Our next guest, he is the head coach of the UIL 4A boys reigning state champions, all right, the Bernie Greyhounds. He is Coach Michael Strong. Coach Strong, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. We're excited to have you on. A little bit of a background story in terms of how you said we were able to energize your boys. We'll get to that a little later, but so, Coach, before we begin, again, congratulations on being recently crowned the 4A boys state title. That's a very obviously a tremendous honor, and it's very, very hard to do. I think every other 4A boys school in the state can attest to that. So, before we dive in, though, Coach, before we dive in, look into the season that was, your thoughts, and the season that may be next year. Tell us, give us a little bit of your background, your coaching background, and on your program.
Yeah, so coaching, I've only been coaching 3 years high school, all 3 years at Bernie High School. I was very fortunate that Coach Leach gave me my first head coaching opportunity here at Bernie High School, and it's just been an incredible run. You know, I had a great group of seniors that first year that bought in. You know, here's this new guy coming in. We've been here 3 years already. And they really set the foundation for this program and obviously allowing now our kids, the ones who won state this year, to really succeed. So it's been a dream come true to be a head coach. And again, just I give all the credit to the kids because they put the work in and, they earned it.
So, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this was your first head coaching gig. Is that correct?
Yep. First head coach and assistant coach for high school. Yes, sir.
So to be able to, get that ring, 3 years in, that's pretty amazing, Coach, because, you have majority of us go our entire careers and don't get to taste that. So that's pretty remarkable. Congratulations to you. So, Coach, describe to us your season, describe to us your experience through this season, in terms of COVID, a winter storm, games kind of being compacted and pressed into a certain time frame, not knowing if we were going to get to play this year or when, what that would look like. Kind of describe your experience as a coach this season.
Yeah, I think all of us last year, the uncertainty was looming over our heads. Last year playoffs got canceled. We had, I think, one game left in district. And then they canceled the season, and that was heartbreaking for the seniors last year. And so this year it was just that, that unexpectedness of, hey, are we going to play? Are we not? And then, we were fortunate enough that here at Bernie, we were one of the first, I think 4A volleyball was the first sport that really kicked off the UIL season. And, without a hitch. And we're just so fortunate here at Bernie that, our administrator, our school board, Dr. Price, they did a phenomenal job of contact tracing. And really we've kept COVID out of Bernie for the most part. Obviously we had some flare ups here and there. Again, the Dr. Howard and Dr. Price did a phenomenal job with keeping COVID out of our schools and talking about, what that looks like in the season. I mean, we're scheduled to go down to Progreso. We love going down to that tournament with Coach Jimenez. And unfortunately this year, Progreso didn't have a team. They canceled their season, so right. Tournament got canceled, and we had a few teams cancel on us. So we had some spurts there. We had 10 to 14 days with no games, which is crazy. Which normally you're in the middle of the season, you're before district, you're sitting there going, man, we got to get games in. This is how we get our identity, how we learn who we are. Right. And this team though, they never missed a beat. We'd come off a 14 day. Hiatus off games, and we'd scrimmage with the JV team, or I'd pull, I do inter squad scrimmages, and that kept us sharp. And we'd come back and have big games after big breaks. And I think that's a testament to the kids and how much they enjoy playing the game and how much they enjoy being around each other. That know, after that time off, it's like, oh, it's game time. And, you know, they're excited. So it was a stressful season, I think, for all the coaches. I think all the coaches can attest to that. But it was definitely a learning experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You're not lying. It was a totally different type of stress put on coaching staffs this year. And the never always kind of having in the back of your mind, beyond injuries, beyond grades, the random what ifs of if you lose a kid that tests positive, right? Or does that in the process take down your entire program for 2 weeks, right, due to quarantine? So yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Totally different animal this year. So this year, Coach, this marks your this marks the program's second state title, first since 2006. You know, it's been about a week now. It'll be a week tomorrow. But what's it been like? What's the buzz been like in the community over the last week?
Crazy. I mean, from, getting escorted out of town by our sheriff department and having the sheriff there to wave us goodbye, having a fire truck in the parade, to coming back in and having the sheriff, SUVs pick us up, come back into town. The community's been phenomenal. Last night we had our awards ceremony, and a lot more people showed up than I thought were going to show up. And so it made my job of talking a little harder. Was a little nervous, but no, it's the amount of, random people coming up in the grocery store saying, oh, hey, congrats, great job this year. It's just been it's been so special, and I'm so lucky that I can be a part of this community and live in this community. So like I said, it's been real special.
You got anything you can share with us from that speech last night?
I think I thanked everyone under the sun, and I'm sure I forgot a bunch of people, but it was a lot of thank yous, a lot of thank yous to the boys, just everyone that really made this special year happen. And, I told the crowd, I thanked a lot of people, because to win a state title, you always hear that you have to have skill, you got to have some luck, and then, man, I think you got to have the community as well. Right. I think there's three pieces to it. It's not just the two. And so that's why I felt like I needed to thank everyone. And so it was a little stressful, but I think I remembered most of everyone.
Yeah, we talked about it pretty extensively, or not extensively, but it seemed to come up regularly when we looked at it round by round in our four-part series of Inside Texas High School Soccer during the state playoffs. In our collaboration, our partnership with our friends at San Antonio Soccer Roundtable and Coach Rafa. We often talked about how, obviously, you have to be disciplined, you have to have talent, but along the way, to make that deep, not just the deep state run, but to make a run to a title, somewhere along the way, you have to get a little lucky, right? Something just has to fall your way a little bit, and sometimes you may not, in the moment, you may not recognize it as luck or whatever you want to call it, but when you look back on it, it can be kind of like, man, we made out on that one, or things just kind of fell our way in this case. Doesn't take away from your state title whatsoever. It's just, sometimes that can be the difference between coming up short and sealing the deal, is like things just have to go your way in those magical seasons. So, and then speaking about the season, Coach, you look back on it now, I know things are still kind of spinning, things are still kind of crazy, but you've had a little bit of time to maybe just you and your family. What really, any one or two things surprised you about the season this year?
How long it was. obviously you make a deep, you want to make that deep run, but I've never made it out of the second round with the boys, and I made it out of the third. We made it to the third round with the girls my first year here. I coached both the boys and the girls. But man, that's a long postseason, 7 games, it's a lot. And then, every round that you advance, it's just, the stress levels are higher. You're scouting, you're watching more film than you ever have. You're scheduling, stadiums and, working with other coaches. So it's a whole, nother ball game when you get into the playoffs, man. And again, it's such a long postseason run, but, so I think just the length and the amount of paperwork you got to do along the way in the postseason.
Yeah. Paperwork. No paperwork. so what about, So you talk about that process, right? So whenever you had a playoff win and you advanced to the next round, how much time internally, not what you tell the boys, obviously, but internally, how much time would you give yourself to enjoy it? Like, did you give yourself any time to enjoy it?
No. The goal, I mean, I'm not going to lie. The goal was always, you know, I knew from very early in this season that we had a special team. Yeah. You know, and we had a ton of talent. And that if we competed and we worked hard, that we would have a very good shot of winning every game that we stepped foot on that field. And so for me, it wasn't about, we made it out of the second round for playoffs. It was, you know, my eyes were always on state and hopefully making the state final and giving yourself a chance to lift that trophy. So, I mean, once the game ends, I'd be on the phones looking for film, reaching out to people I know, see if they can help me get film. So there's no enjoying. There's a little bit of enjoyment, maybe after the game when we're on the field. But once I got back onto that bus, it was preparation for the next round.
Yeah. So, you know, and you mentioned that deep playoff run, right? A little birdie told me that along the way, you know, in one of your playoff matches versus Hidalgo, where you guys were coming up against them, that in our kind of not just our predictions, but our discussions about you all going up against them, that our show kind of helped give you all a certain sense of motivation along the way. Is that true? Can you confirm that?
I can confirm. But I think as a coach, you try to find anything that you can to just give that, you know, an extra edge, you know. And so for my boys, when y'all show, we're talking about Hidalgo going to the state finals and getting through us, you know, I let them know. I said, guys, look, people aren't picking you guys. You know, y'all, you know, Max Preps rankings has y'all ranked number one in the state, but we all know how those rankings work, and it's not really maybe the most accurate ranking system out there. And right. Like, guys, people aren't respecting you guys. You know, y'all need to go out there and make statement wins. That's what I told them as well. You know, imagine your statements that you're making in the playoffs, right? All of these teams are there because they had to qualify for the playoffs. So you go beat the pants off someone, that's a statement. You go dominate that game, that's a statement. You know, every team you hope is looking at you and has you circled sitting there going, I hope we don't face that Bernie squad. And, you know, like I said, so I used, you know, your guys' podcast. I appreciate that to give my boys just a little extra motivation for that game. And I think they rose to the occasion.
Yeah. And, you know, and for the record, we had discussed that. I know Coach Rafa, my buddy, Coach Rafa, he had mentioned that. I think the big take was, and we knew, you know, Nate over at, who writes for the Striker Texas, and he's really familiar with the teams out of the Valley. He had told us that, hey, this Hidalgo group they have a chance to be special, but they're also young. And, you know, Coach Rafa had mentioned that, hey, if this Bernie group can get past Hidalgo, even though they may be young, then they're really for real. You know, then we expect them to make that run all the way, which a lot of people we had already been hearing, you know, in terms of coverage of you all. You know, and even, you know, Coach Rogers, who I, you know, just interviewed a little while ago, he even told me offline that it's like that, you know, that Bernie group, they gave us, you know, they gave us a run for our money, and down 1-0 to them at halftime. And for you to have your only loss of the season to the 6A boys state champion this year, I think as a 4A squad, that's really saying something, and you should be very proud.
Definitely proud of the boys. Like I said, it was an incredible year. And that Hidalgo team, I tell you what, I went down to the Valley and I scouted them. I watched them in person, and they are very good. Lots of talent. They'll be back in the playoffs with a vengeance. So it'll be exciting to hopefully see them again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about, you know, you mentioned the podcast, but did you feel this year, after how things transpired last year, did you feel that there was a different level of excitement within your community, within the Texas high school soccer community? And did you notice anything in terms of, or did you feel like there was also more coverage and a sense of excitement of high school soccer across the state this year?
Absolutely. You know, from a coverage standpoint, I think everyone was just, everyone just missed high school sports, you know, and especially the back end of last year, the sports that got their finals canceled, whether it was basketball, who canceled the finals right there, you know, the state championships, or soccer, who didn't have the playoffs, or, you know, individual tennis, baseball, softball. So I think, you know, those spring sports were dying for coverage. And it was awesome seeing all this new coverage, and I really enjoyed it, especially because it was nice to see my boys get some recognition outside of just Bernie. It was pretty awesome.
You know, you talk about, obviously it's hard to, it's almost like last year and this year, right? In terms of last season and this season, they feel like just one super big season, right? So it's hard to separate them, but, you know, talk about the impact that last year's season, the inability to finish it out. What kind of impact did that have on this year's group this season? Were they completely just separate, or was there something there?
No. We talked to the boys, Coach Hogan and myself, from day one, that this is a continuation of last year. And there are, I think we had 7 or 8 seniors last year. I think 4 or 5 starters, and we thought last year that, hey, we might be able to do something special with this group. So we knew that we were finishing their season from last year as well. And we had that extra motivation or responsibility to go play with urgency. And I think that was the most important thing this year with the boys. And I think with a lot of teams, and you asked me, did you notice anything different just from a soccer standpoint? I think urgency. I think all the teams were out there and understood that, at least at some level, that any game could be your last game.
Absolutely.
Look at, again, last year, no one would have expected that the season just got canceled, and it did. And so I think that was a big wake-up call for a lot of these kids, that you always assume there's going to be that one more game until you get to the playoffs, and that just wasn't the case. So, I thought the boys had that extra responsibility. I thought that all the teams that that played were excited to be playing soccer, to be playing high school soccer, because, you know this as well as I do, that 4 years goes by very fast. Especially when you get up older in age, and for these kids, 4 years feels like an eternity, but it's fleeting. And to lose a year of your high school sport, to say you only got 3 years, at the time it doesn't sound like a lot to these kids, but later in life it's crazy. So yeah, I think just urgency and responsibility was the biggest thing that my team kind of embraced.
Yeah, tell us. So you talk about this year's group and kind of this year's group also honoring and kind of a tribute, I guess, to your senior class last year, right? That didn't get to play out their season. But this year's group, tell us about, highlight a couple of your players for us. What did they do? What did they bring to the table that made, that made this experience what it was in a state title?
I think the biggest thing, first of all, about our team was we just didn't have any glaring weaknesses. And for a 4A school, that's very difficult to be able to field that much talent, whether it's our starting 11 or even our guys coming off the bench. There were no glaring weaknesses, and I think that was a huge strength of ours. Obviously, from an attacking standpoint, we had Rowdy Fritz, who played for SAFC's Developmental Academy last year. And obviously, the academy got canceled, and so that afforded us to have Rowdy back this year as a senior. And from a talent standpoint, he's the most talented kid I've ever coached. I mean, he's just unbelievable skill, talent, on the ball, tons of speed, good in the air. I mean, he just really is the complete player. And he really allowed us to do special things up top because he garnished so much attention, And I played with 2 high wingers and him as kind of a lone striker. And that created space for him to do what he does best. And then, obviously, our wingers were able to get high up into the attack, get diagonal runs in, get to the end line, serve ball. So Rowdy Fritz was special. Landon Murphy out on the left, is the MVP of the state game. Great finisher, good technical player. Again, a very dangerous player. He had over 20 goals this year on the season. I think Rowdy ended up with over 20. Justin Moore came along big. Him and Jose Rodriguez kind of split time out in the right-hand side. And then in my midfield, it was I was only playing three. And Sam Tice, Juan Castro, and Jess Gonzalez are just workhorses. You know, they're having to do an extra man's work between the three of them because there's only three there. And I didn't ask my wingers to come back and have defensive responsibilities. But those three guys, some of the hardest working midfielders I've ever seen, and that's what allows us to then play the formation we did as a 4-3-3.
Right.
And they were phenomenal all year, those three. And Sam had over 30 goals this year as a center midfielder. And then, you know, our back line was just solid. I mean, Scott Hedy was my only returning defensive starter from last year's team. So that was a big unknown for us this year and something that we're a little worried about. But from a leadership standpoint, he did a phenomenal job getting those new three guys and on the back line there and whipping them into shape and organizing them and communicating with them. And, again, a lot of our younger guys really stepped up big this year. And that's what allowed us to, you know, again, you have a talent like Rowdy up top. You got your guys like Sam and Landon, but then those younger guys really elevated the program as a whole because there wasn't that gap in between our top players and our players who might not technically be as good. You know, that gap closed. And I think that's what made us so special. And then Noah LeMaster, my goalkeeper, sophomore, absolutely incredible. He made some huge saves in that state final game. But he really took a step forward this year as well. And I thought he was very special and in district play, had some big saves. And, you know, again, obviously I expect big things out of him moving forward. But, you know, a lot of times you'll have a great team, but you're missing a goalkeeper. Or you'll have a great goalkeeper, but you're missing that center striker to score goals for you. But this year we really did have the total team, and our players that came off the bench were phenomenal. So it just really was a team effort with some special outstanding players. I knew from very early on that we were going to be a very dangerous team. And the boys, you know, they rose to the occasion and won themselves a state title. So it was awesome.
Do you recall the moment where you start the year, you go into the year and you're like, okay, we're going to be very dangerous. We have a chance to be special. Do you recall the moment where an exact moment in a match, post-match, going, you know, prepping for a match maybe. Do you recall the moment where it kind of hits you that, hey, no, we have a chance to be super special, like the take it all special? Was there a moment where it hit you?
I think so. Scott Hedy missed the first few games because of rib injuries from football. And so Rowdy was actually playing as a center back. Again, he's got great vision. He reads the game well, cleans everything up, did a great job back there. And he played back there for, I mean, at least 7-8 games. And then my target striker, Landon Murphy, who ended up moving out left, he gets hurt in practice. So we've got Antonian. And so I put Rowdy up top. And then Scott's finally all the way healthy, so I put him in the back. And that game, seeing Rowdy in that 4-3-3 was like where I was like, wow, this team is actually – we were special before that. And I was like, hey, we can make a run at this. But after that Antonian game and probably the one after once Landon came back into the – in our starting lineup, but seeing Rowdy up top alone there and just seeing how much damage he can do by himself against the back four, I was like, hey, we've got him here. I can put Landon out wide on the wing now. And he's going to do great things. I know the quality that he has. I knew that Antonian game, I knew we were special. And you know, Coach Walter Rule, after the game, he told me the same thing. He said, man, you guys are going to be playing for a long time to come. You guys will be able to make a real special run into playoffs. And it was brave. It was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Coach Rule. Yeah, good guy. So he is he's Coach Michael Strong. Or, yes, he's the head coach for the reigning 4A boys state champion, the Bernie Greyhounds. Coach, you talked a little bit in terms of your players this year, right? So how many will you be losing at graduation?
Losing four seniors, and all four of them are special. Obviously, Rowdy, I've gone on and on about him, but Scott Hedy's, he's our anchor in the back, so he's going to be a tough one to replace as well. Jose Rodriguez is he's got the quality to be a starter. I liked him coming off the bench because My starting right winger just runs for days and has tons of speed. So Jose could go in when they're a little softened up. So we'll miss him. And then James Stewart, who is a great locker room guy, leadership type guy. And, you know, he will be missed more than he understands and more than he knows. But we'll miss all four of our seniors a lot.
So now you have this group, right? You have this returning group next year. Now you're at the mountaintop, right? You're king of the hill, king of the mountain, whatever you want to call it. And as hard as that is, sometimes getting there can be easier than getting back, right? Defending it, right? So what do you know, they got the target on their back now. What do you tell this returning group? Obviously, we're still giving you time to enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but you know, when that time comes, what do you tell this group that's returning?
Big old target, right? I mean, everyone wants to beat you. Everyone wants to knock off the best. You know, I've a little birdie told me that Hidalgo and London may be joining the Progressor tournament and already want to play us.
Nice.
And it's a testament to the boys, right? And that people know, you know, that, hey, they're only losing four seniors and, you know, that it's a quality side. And, you know, for me, it's can you defend something, right? You know, like you said, sometimes it's easier winning than it's defending. You know, can y'all do this without Scott, Rowdy, Jose, and James? You know, because a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, hey, you had the developmental academy player. You know, that's why y'all won state. You know, so now it's Sam, can you and Landon step up and prove that you guys can go do this without Rowdy and without Scott? But every team's going to be gunning for us. It's a position I like to be in because you know that you're going to get everyone's best game.
Right.
And, you know, that's my job to prepare them to make sure that they're mentally focused and ready for every single game. But I love battles, right? That's why we coach. That's why we get to see these kids go out there and give their best effort and rise to the occasion. That's what makes sports so great. And so I'm thrilled for the opportunity to go defend our title and knowing that we've got that huge target. I know the boys will be equally ready next year, but hopefully they can join it for a little bit longer, maybe in a couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's well said. Well said. What are your thoughts? Regional, no regional tournament, kind of a standalone round by round, no regional tournament, no traditional state tournament. Every round being a standalone, and then of course the state championship match. Good or bad? What were your thoughts on that when you look back on it?
It's difficult for me because it's the only time I've been here. So I only have one experience. But honestly, I loved the way it all worked out because and help me if I'm wrong here, but the regional tournament, the regional semifinal, is that on a Thursday, and then the regional finals on a Saturday?
Yeah, it's usually some sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It'll vary from region to region. It just depends on the logistics. But yeah, it's typically a back to back in some variation.
So I'm thrilled that we didn't have a regional tournament or a state tournament. Because I, you know, for me, knowing the quality we had, more rest was going to be better. Again, I was very confident that as long as we competed and worked hard, that we would have the quality to play with or beat any team on that field. So I think the extra rest was great. Obviously it takes away from kind of that experience of it being a tournament, having all the teams there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it probably helped us at Bernie having that longer rest window. Cause like I said, we play a 4-3-3 and or at least this year we did. And that's a lot of running for my three center mids. And if you're expecting them to do that back-to-back days, that's tough, you know? So I'm a big fan of no tournaments.
Yeah. You know, it makes for oftentimes what you see in tournament play is especially in a semifinal, particularly at the state level. You can look at it from the regional perspective as well, but just in general, right? Generally speaking, when it comes to tournaments, the semifinals, it's kind of an all in, right? We got to commit. There's no tomorrow in order to try to make the final. And then the final, if it's the next day or 2 days later, the legs are so heavy. It usually ends up where the semifinal is is a better quality game, if you will, than the final. The final tends to be very, you know, they tend to be very ugly. So that was different. And I'm kind of just kind of curious as you're going through the run this year, this, you know, that state playoff run round to round, what your thoughts were on that. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting take. I'm kind of curious to see how UIL will adjust it, you know, going forward into next year, or will they go right back to into what they were, what they traditionally do?
I hope they keep it because, you know, soccer is it's a very demanding sport, right? I mean, obviously all sports are, but from a physicality standpoint, to play two games back to, you know, back to back and expect the quality to be there, like you said, is really unreasonable and it's not realistic, you know, and I think the whole point is that we want to have the best quality soccer possible. And so, you know, like I said, I enjoyed the extra rest there.
What did your kind of give us a little snapshot? Take us through your what did that period look like when you go from a, let's say, maybe a regional final on a Friday to a state semifinal Tuesday to then playing for it all, you know, later in the week on Saturday. How did you handle that, I guess, that week or so, those 7 to 10 days coming out of that regional semifinal?
We were all very excited that we won the regional final, obviously. You know, in terms of like milestones, I think we were almost more, I don't want to say more excited, but you kind of win something when you win the regional final, right? It's like, hey, we're going to state, even though, you know, state was spread out. Right. But, you know, everyone's, you know, hey, we're going to state. And that state semi, for me, I wanted to impress upon the boys that, hey, girls basketball team, they made it to the state semis. Boys basketball team made it to the state semis. Our tennis team, they made it to the state finals. But, you know, on recent memory, both our basketball teams lost in the state semis. And it's like, we can't be the third team in a row to go lose in the state semis. You know, we've come too far. That it would devastate the community who keeps getting all excited and falling short. Yeah. So it was all business for the state semis. Obviously, like I said, the regional tournament was, we were thrilled with that win, with the winning something. But the state semis, that was just the first game of a two game season. That's how I broke down the playoffs. I said it's a 7-game season now. You've got a 5-game season. And then you get to state, which is a 2-game season. And so for us, the state semis was just the first game of a 2-game season now. And that's why I tried to press upon the boys is that, hey, Hargraves is the team that is standing in our way to give us an opportunity to win the state title. You know, if you don't win the state semi, no one remembers that. No one really, you know, it just kind of fades away. But you make it to the state final and you give yourself a chance to win state. That's what's really important there. So, again, state semi was all business, and then obviously the lead up to getting to the state final was just, it was crazy with, you know, reporters, interviewers wanting to come out to practice, interview the boys, and then, you know, it was actually pretty warm leading up to that Saturday, and then even though that Saturday it got pretty chilly, which I was thankful for, but you know during that week it's like, well, how much, you know, how long do I want practice to be? How intense do I want to be versus take, you know, pull back because I'm trying to save legs. So it was a real interesting kind of managing the team and you know, managing practices and intensity, that kind of stuff. It was a real new experience for me. So I was hoping I didn't screw it up, and hopefully the boys won. So what I did then, I don't have to second guess. But yeah, it was a trip those 7 to 10 days, and obviously the whole time every second that I've got's free, I'm watching film. You know, I'm watching as much film as I can and making sure that I can put the boys in the best position to succeed.
Yeah. You know, we get it, you know, the Bernie community has very high standards, but I also know a lot of communities that would kill to have all their programs making state semifinals. So there's something to be said about that. So coach, what you hit on a little bit in terms of players this year and returning players, but what can we, in maybe one or two sentences, what can we expect from the Bernie men's soccer next year?
Bernie men's soccer is going to come back next year and they're going to be ready to defend their title. Obviously there's a lot of talent standing in their way, but they will be ready. They're battle tested now. They've got a taste for that victory, but they're going to be ready. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder, even though they're at the top. I promise you they'll have a chip on their shoulder because I'll put it there.
Well said. Well said. He is Coach Michael Strong, head coach of the reigning UAL 4A boys state soccer champions, the Bernie Greyhounds. Coach, this has been great. This has been tremendous. We, you know, those of us here at the 50-50 podcast, we're grateful for your time. We thank you for joining us. You know, you got coaches, high school coaches, even in some cases, even college coaches and student athletes, but high school coaches listening for sure. Any final words, any message you want to send out to them?
Keep doing what you're doing. You know, I mean, it's for all the guys who are in the profession, we know why we're doing it. You know, it's so special. And again, just keep pushing those kids, make them compete, put them in uncomfortable situations. And you'll be amazed that the boys will rise to the occasion.
It's well said, exceptionally well said. So thank you again for your time, Coach. We appreciate you. And also for our listeners, thank you once again. We do it for we do this for you in support of the game, growing the game here of Texas high school soccer, obviously throughout the state. So until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.